Thank you. Well, welcome back to our study of Genesis. We are in chapter 27, and we're going to begin reading at verse 42. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. Remember the words that she would kill, that he would kill his brother. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Behold, your brother Esau, as touching you, does comfort himself, purposing to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran, and tarry with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets that which has been done to him. Then I will send and fetch you from thence. Why should I be deprived also of you both in one day?"
So when someone told Rebekah about Esau's plan, she called for Jacob, and when he came to her, she said, "Look, your brother Esau intends to get revenge by killing you. And so follow my instructions and go to my brother Laban, who's in Haran, and stay with him until Esau's anger subsides. And when he gets over what you've done to him, I'll send for you." And she says, "I don't want to lose both of you the same day." Now, you know, even though Rebekah has done what she's done as far as, you know, the deception and all that, it's not that she doesn't love Esau. He's her son also. But she favored Jacob. And so she's trying to sue this thing out to where she doesn't lose either son. Okay?
And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me?"
So here Rebekah's, she's speaking to Isaac about her concern, the possibility of Jacob marrying one of the daughters of Heth. And if he marries a Canaanite woman, she says, my life won't be worth living. Here again, I think it's because she knows what is supposed to occur. And remember that Esau has married two Canaanite women. Okay?
Now, chapter 28, it tells about Isaac sending Jacob to Padan Aram, Jacob's personal encounter with God through a dream, and his vow to God. Verses 1 through 4. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take you a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be a multitude of people, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your seed with you, that you may inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham."
Now remember that Rebekah talked to Isaac and expressed her concern about Jacob marrying a Canaanite woman. And so Isaac sends for Jacob. He blesses him and he commands him not to marry a Canaanite woman. And he told him to leave immediately. And he instructed him to go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, who was his Rebekah's father, and to take a wife from among the daughters of Laban, who was Rebekah's brother. Now listen to the blessing. Mm-hmm. Isaac said, "God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful. May he multiply you so that you will become a multitude of people. May he give you and your descendants the blessing of Abraham, so that you may inherit the land where you've been a foreigner, because God gave this land to Abraham. Now here you see that this blessing that Abraham spoke over him was leading right up to this Abrahamic blessing, to where the one who gets the blessing from Isaac is going to receive the Abraham blessing. So Jacob gets this blessing. So Isaac has go ahead and resigned to the fact, or gone ahead and resigned to the fact, that the blessing of Abraham is to be passed on through Jacob, not Esau. Even though Esau was his favorite, so to speak, he's realized the hand of God in all this. And if you think about it, I'm sure when Rebecca was asking God and getting the answer concerning her pregnancy, and God telling her two nations in her womb, the younger, the older would serve the younger, I'm sure she told these things to Isaac. And so it's not, I believe that he knew all this. But because of culture and custom and all that, favoring the firstborn, okay. But here we see that he's resigned to the fact that this is the way it's supposed to be. God said that this younger one was going to be the predominant one, if I can say it that way, the elder was over the younger. And if you'll remember in the blessing that Isaac spoke over Jacob, he said, you'll rule over your brethren. Mm-hmm. And then the thing that he told Esau after Esau was crying about this, literally, he said that I've made him your master's, the essence of it, and you're going to serve your brother. I've made him to rule over you. And so in all this, it's just this Abraham blessing is playing out to go from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob by God's orchestration. I'm not saying that God did anything devious. I'm saying that God spoke it before it ever happened. Okay? Mm-hmm.
And Isaac sent away Jacob, and he went to Paddan Aram unto Laban, son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mother.
So Isaac sends Jacob away to the house of Laban, who was the brother of Rebekah. And Laban lived in Paddan Aram. And so ultimately this is where Jacob is going for a while.
When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan, and that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's sister, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife.
Now, when Esau becomes aware, this is a verse I mentioned earlier. I thought it was another verse. This is a verse I was actually referring to where I had viewed it one way, because that's the way I'd heard it taught when I was growing up. But in looking at this, I see it in a different light. So it says that when Esau was aware that Jacob had been blessed, Isaac had blessed him, sent him away to Paddan Aram to get a wife. And he also was aware that Isaac said, I don't want you to marry a Canaanite woman. And so Jacob had gone to Paddan Aram in obedience to his father's request. So when Esau understood that his father was not pleased with the daughters of Cana, Now remember, Esau's married to two Canaanite women. It says that he went not to a Hittite, not to a Canaanite, but he went to Ishmael. That's Abraham's son. And so he went to Ishmael and married his daughter, Mahala, who was the sister of Nebaioth. That's a man. And as I said earlier, he'd already married Judith and Basemath, two Hittite women. Now, I had thought that Esau was in rebellion. I'll show you, and I'll just go marry some Canaanite women. But he didn't marry another Canaanite woman. He married a woman who was a descendant of Ishmael, Abraham's son. And so it may be that he was trying to please his father, not that you can undo a wrong, but by taking a wife that's not a Canaanite woman. You follow me? Okay.
Good. Verses 10 through 15. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you liest, to you I will give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with you, and will keep you in all places, wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of.
So Jacob's on his way to Padan Aram, Mesopotamia. And he comes to a suitable place to spend the night. And says the sun's already gone down. And so he took a stone and makes a pillow. Okay. And as he goes to sleep, he has a dream. And in this dream, Michaela, if you would pull the word ladder up, because I believe the Hebrew word there, staircase, rather than ladder. Anyway, he sees this staircase to where angels are ascending and descending on this. And the Lord was standing at the top. Is that what it says? Staircase, right? Okay. And so God's standing at the top of this staircase. Sorry to burst your bubble if you sing a song, we're climbing Jacob's ladder. Okay. Anyway, and so the Lord's standing at the top of the staircase, and he says, I'm the Lord of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. Now you hear this Abraham blessing that God is reiterating to Jacob. And he says, I will give you the land where you're lying. I'll give it to you and to your descendants, and your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread abroad to the west, east, north, south. And through you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. I'm with you. I will protect you wherever you go. And I will bring you again into this land. I will not leave you until I have done everything I've spoken to you. Now, there's an interesting contrast here to me. when Abraham sent his servant to get a bride for Isaac, he told his servant, don't you take Isaac to that land. You bring the bride here. Now, with Jacob, he's having to flee for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's going to that land ultimately to get a bride. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to marry a wife here. Go to your mother's brother's house and get a wife. So that's his purpose of going. But he's not going to stay. This is a temporary thing. You go, get a wife, come back. Now, what does God say? God says, all right, I'm going to bring you again back into this land. In other words, I'm not going to leave you there. You'll make a full circle, so to speak. You'll come back to where you were. But there's some things that has to heal first, right? And Esau, and this is a long time period. As a matter of fact, you'll find it's 20 years before Jacob actually goes back to his homeland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Jacob awoke out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven.
So when Jacob wakes up, he is scared because of the dream that he's seen, the encounter that he's had with God in the dream. And he says, the Lord's in this place and I didn't know it. Now, years ago, that verse just really spoke to me, and I thought, how often people do not recognize the Lord when He's in the place. They go to church, and the presence of God can be there. People don't even know God's in the place. Jacob has this awareness now, God's in this place. I didn't know it. Why? His mind's not on God, is it? That's the difference. If your mind's on the Lord, you'll recognize where the Lord is. And so now, when he wakes up, he comes to the realization, this is the house of God. Incidentally, that's what Bethel means. Before, the place was called Luz, but then he changed the name to Bethel, the house of God. Okay? He said, this is the house of God and the gate to heaven. This is a way to get there. Through him, right?
Through him. And Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it.
So he had a stone for a pillow. Now he takes that stone and anoints it, pouring oil on it, and makes it a pillar, a memorial. You understand? This is a memorial to the Lord. I'm recognizing God's in this place.
Very good. And verse 19. I didn't read it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at first. And
go ahead. I've already got ahead of you, but you go ahead.
And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on.
So Jacob, the place, he called it Bethel, which means the house of God. Formerly the place was called Luz, which means almond tree.
Mm.
A lot of difference between a almond tree and a house of God.
Yeah.
One time you can see an almond tree. Now on, Jacob's going to see the house of God in that place. Okay?
Yeah.
Did you finish reading that? The rest of the chapter?
No, let me finish.
Okay, you go ahead and read to the end of it.
Okay. So that I come again to my Father's house, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
Now, this is another interesting thing. Jacob makes an agreement with God, vows, takes an oath that, all right, God, if you'll be with me and you'll keep me wherever I go. Now, God's already told him he would, right?
Yeah.
He said, if you'll do this, you give me food to eat, clothes to wear, and you bring me back to my Father's house in peace. Not just bring me back, but bring me back in peace, then you'll be my God. And I'll recognize the pillar that I've set up as the house of God. And from everything you give me, I will give you a, I'll give a tenth back to you. You do what you say. You provide for me. I come back to my Father's house in peace, then this is going to be the house of God to me, Bethel. And I'll give you 10% of what I have. Abraham gave 10% to Melchizedek, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jacob here again says, I'll give you 10%. This was long before the law ever came into existence, you understand? All right.
You know, it's interesting to me how, and we don't have record of this, but I just wonder, as Pete's alluded to, these Jacob, I'm sure, had talked to his father, Isaac, about, and Isaac had probably shared his encounters with the Lord. And probably had talked about Abraham and his encounters. But here Jacob has had his encounter, and then he starts off his response back to God was, if you do. And we all have to have our personal encounter with God, don't we? We can't live off of somebody else's encounters. We have to have the experience ourselves, don't we? The Lord is so faithful that He'll meet us where we are.
And honestly, the way you know God is by experience. You can know about God by hearsay. Obviously, Jacob had heard things of you know, from his father, about his grandfather, and all these type things. Well, actually met his grandfather. But here, he has an encounter with God. Now he's having an experience with God. And so this is personal.
Mm-hmm.
Not distant or hand-me-down. This is personal relationship here, personal encounter with God.
Chapter 29 records Jacob's arrival at Haran, his first encounter with Rachel, his meeting with her father, his agreement to work for his wives, and the birth of some of his sons. All right, verses 1 through 3. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place.
Now, before I comment on this, I want to just remind you, where's Jacob going? He's on his way to Haran.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that where, after Terah died, that Abraham left? When Abraham left of Ur of the Chaldees, where did they settle? They were in Haran, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they were. And then when Terah died, he left Haran. And now we learn that this is where Rebekah's parents, brother, her family, is in this place. Okay? And so this is why Isaac could send her, could send Jacob there, because he's familiar and he knows what, that's where Abraham sent the servant.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Now, with that said, Jacob continued on his journey, and he came to the land of the eastern people. And when he arrived, he saw a well in the field, and there were three flocks of sheep lying near the well, and it's a place where they watered the flock. And so the mouth of the well was covered over with a stone, and the shepherds were waiting until all the flocks had gathered, and then they would remove the stone from the well's mouth and water the sheep. And then after they had watered the sheep, they would put the stone back over the well's mouth. Now, Jacob was familiar with sheep and goats. You understand, this is not strange to him. And so this gets his attention. You have three flocks, three shepherds here. They're waiting for the others to come around. And so the sheep are just lying there waiting to be watered. In other words, they're not taking care of business at hand, is the way Jacob sees it. Okay? And that right there, you could preach a message out of that itself. People are waiting. When they have something available to them, they don't have to wait for it. They just have to put forth effort and get the stone off of the well's mouth. Okay?
That's a good message. Verse 4. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be you? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said to them, Know you Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said to them, Is he well? And they said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, comes with the sheep.
So Jacob asked the shepherds, Where are you from?
Mm-hmm.
They said, He said, Did you know Laban, Nahor's grandson? They said, Yeah, we know him. And then he said, Is he well? They said, Yes, and his daughter Rachel is coming with the sheep.
And he said, Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. You water the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks are gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep.
Now Jacob's thinking about these shepherds sitting around not doing anything. And he says, Why don't you water the sheep and take them back to the pasture? They said, Well, we can't do that until all the flocks are here. And they come to the well, then we'll remove the stone and water the sheep. Could be a little bit lazy. We don't want to do it one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And while he yet spoke with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother.
While Jacob's talking to them, Rachel comes with her father's sheep. Note this, it says she was a shepherdess. Okay? And as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep, he goes to the well, rolls the stone from the well's mouth, and waters Laban's flock. In other words, I'm not waiting for all the flock to go. She'd got the sheep here. They came here to get water. We're going to water them. We're going to do it now. We're not going to procrastinate. We're going to take care of the matter at hand. Now, that's a good principle for all of us to learn right now. Okay? You don't wait for everybody else to get on board. You do what you need to do right now. And a lot of people are waiting for this. They're waiting for that. When God speaks to you, move immediately. Don't wait for other people. Water the sheep.
And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father.
Now you understand this is his first cousin, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Jacob greets Rebekah, he kisses her, and he weeps out loud, and he told her who he was. He said, I'm the son of Rebekah, your father's sister. And when Rachel learned who he was, she ran and told her father. That doesn't say anything about the flock.
Mm-hmm.
So, we won't comment on that, okay?
And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely you are my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month.
So when Laban hears the news that Jacob is his sister's son, he runs to meet him and he embraces Jacob and kisses him. That's the cultural thing. Nothing perverted about it. And brought him to his house. And then Jacob conversed with Laban in greater detail. And Laban said to him, he said, surely you are my flesh and bone. And so Jacob stayed with Laban for a month.
And Laban said to Jacob, because you are my brother, should you therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall your wages be?
So, he says, just because you're related to me doesn't mean that you should serve me for nothing. So, I like you staying here. How can I compensate you?
And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored.
So, Laban has two daughters. Leah, the oldest, and then Rachel, the youngest. And there's different schools of thought on Leah's tender eyes, okay? I've heard anything from, being cross-eyed. Some people say cross-eyed or whatever. I don't know. Weak eyes. That could mean that she didn't see well. You understand? And then I've heard some people say she was just ugly. You've heard of easy on the eyes and she was hard on the eyes. That's not, don't go there with all that. All we know is she, weak. My suspicion would be she probably didn't see well.
And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter.
So when Jacob saw Rachel, man, this girl's a knockout. I'll serve you for her. And so he loved Rachel, and he told Laban, he said, I'll serve you 7 years if you give me Rachel to be my wife. I mean, you think about that. 7 years of hard labor. She must have looked good.
Man.
You better go on.
Yes, sir. I think so.
Keep me out of trouble.
Mm. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you, that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had for her.
So Laban agreed to that. It's better for me to give you to her for her to give her to you and for her to marry somebody else. So stay with me. And Jacob says 7 years just seemed like a few days because he loved Rachel so much. Mm. That sounds a lot.
Yeah. And Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went in unto her.
Now, there's a whole lot we don't know here, but, you know, after the 7 years are complete, Jacob goes to Laban, and he asks for Rachel. He's ready to consummate the marriage. And so Laban prepared a banquet, invited the people of the place to come when it got dark. Now, evidently, he slips Leah into the tent. You understand? They didn't have lights. They didn't flip a switch, okay? And so he goes, he puts Leah in this tent, and he gives her to Jacob. And so Jacob has sexual relations with Leah that night, thinking it's Rachel. But then comes the morning. And we'll stop there. My time's up, and let you read the rest of the story, okay? We'll pick back up with this in the next session. Father, bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. You hand with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you, flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys.